Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. There are five coaches who hold president titles in the NBA. Detroit's own Stan Van Gundy, of course, Doc Rivers, Greg Popovich, Tom Thibodeau, and at least when I'm recording this, Mike Budenholzer. The Hawks, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo Sports, are looking at stripping Budenholzer of his front office responsibilities, maybe keeping him on as coach, but he'd no longer be president, no longer be in charge of player personnel. And that's ignited all the same talk about how dumb it is to ever have a president coach, how it never makes sense, how it never works, how it's always a failure and just such a terrible idea and just always goes wrong. Did you listen to the list at the beginning? Did you not hear me say Greg Popovich? When people talk about president coaches, I don't know how this one gets overlooked. The Spurs have been great. The Spurs organization might be the most functional in all of sports. They have a president coach. We're dealing with a really small sample here. It's five teams right now. People tend to dwell on the really bad ones. Doc Rivers, you've seen a lot of shortcomings that come with a president coach. His failure to build around Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, it's been rough. He's had J.J. Redick for a while now, and that's been good. Redick's been good, but absent that, it's just a lot of players who haven't lived up to what Doc Rivers hoped to get from them. When a lot of other people were like, yeah, of course that's not going to work. Everybody focuses on Doc Rivers, but there's no attention to Greg Popovich. And then there's the others who are in between. Stan Van Gundy is still building his blueprint in Detroit through some ups and downs. Tom Thibodeau's only 1 year in. Don't know how that one's going to go. Budenholzer is a bit of a different case. So if you look at how these other president coaches got their titles, earned their titles, it's because they were really good coaches. There aren't really guys who are really good executives who are like, oh yeah, you're such a great executive. We'd like to give you head coaching responsibility too. And there's a reason that doesn't happen, and I'm going to get more into that later. But the way these guys, these first four, all got these titles is by being really good coaches. Greg Popovich, I don't know if I can completely follow the timeline. So he was the Spurs general manager, and I believe he had a vice president title when he fired their coach and inserted himself. And then the Spurs drafted Tim Duncan, paired him with David Robinson, did a million other things well, and became a dynasty. Popovich turned out to be a great coach. But somewhere along the way, I don't know if he lost that front office title, that vice president, that general manager title. R.C. Buford is now the Spurs general manager. He has a president of sports franchises title at last check. But when he got that title, when R.C. Buford went from general manager to president of sports franchises, Greg Popovich was also promoted to president of Spurs basketball. That was in 2008. He had already won multiple titles. He won in 99. He won in 03. He won in 05 against the Pistons. He won in 2007. He earned that higher title by having a long extended run of being a head coach. Doc Rivers won a championship with the Celtics. He had other successful years with the Celtics. He was a coach of the year with the Magic and kept that team hovering and being competitive when a lot of people thought they couldn't be. He had a long run of being a successful coach. Stan Van Gundy had the Heat playing very well. He coached the beginnings of a championship team. Even on the year they won the championship, he started off as their coach, and maybe that team would have won with him. Maybe it wouldn't have. We'll never know. But that team the year before was very good. They went to the conference finals with Shaquille O'Neal and Dwayne Wade and lost to the Pistons. But Van Gundy did a very nice job in Miami. Then he went to Orlando. It was even better. He set up this entire system that had a big part in transforming the NBA, moving Rashard Lewis to power forward, stretching the floor, putting four shooters around Dwight Howard, not being afraid to play small at power forward, which has become sort of the pivot point in the transition to this new era. He got help get the Magic to an Eastern Conference title. Had a ton of success. Tom Thibodeau went to the Bulls in year one. Chicago immediately had the best defense in the league. Defense was his specialty. The Bulls went to the conference finals, lost to LeBron. But they showed a lot that year. They won 60-some games, and then they remained competitive in the 4 years after that, even with Derrick Rose battling injury after injury. I think part of that is because the Bulls roster, Derrick Rose's supporting cast, was better than it got credit for. I said that at the time. But part of the supporting cast I was including was Thibodeau, who is an excellent coach and proved that over time in Chicago. That's how those four got the job. Mike Budenholzer got the job because he was in Atlanta when Danny Ferry said something racist. Danny Ferry, of course, got on that conference call with ownership, was talking about Luol Deng as a free agent, and said he's got some African in him, and he meant it pejoratively. He compared Deng to a storefront owner where a store owner where the storefront looks real nice and tidy, in the back there might be some black market goods. It was a racist thing to say. Doesn't make Danny Ferry racist. I'm not here to judge him on that, but it was a racist thing to say. The Hawks put him on a leave of absence for what amounted to about a year before parting ways with him, and they needed somebody to run the front office. Budenholzer was there. So that's how all these guys got into it. But it's not really their executive experience, although maybe that was a factor with Popovich because he had that in the past. But this was a way to attract coaches, because coaches want this because they want to pick their own players. They want to have the job security. They want one fewer person who can fire them. We see it in Detroit. I mean, I'll use that as an example because we're a Pistons podcast. There is one person in the Pistons organization, it seems, who can fire Stan Van Gundy, and that's Tom Gores. If there were another GM above him, that GM could fire Van Gundy. Now, Gores might step in, but that's just sort of the chain of command where it's more of a proactive thing. It'd be more of a proactive thing for the owner to step in and stop the coach from getting fired. So that's what coaches want. So why does it never go the other way? Because it's just extra responsibility. Like, a president's title is nice. Actually, coaching is a lot of responsibility. Actually doing the job of a president is a lot of responsibility. That's why I was always against president coaches. I remember back when Doug Collins was rumored to be angling for that, back when he was coaching the Pistons and they turned him down. I think it was smart. And my big reason why I was against it then is my big reason why I'm against it now. And I'm not saying I'm totally against it, but in the extent that I am against it, it's because it's just too much work. It's too much work for one person. Now, Doug Collins, it would have been a disaster. He especially then, is so competitive, so hard-charging, he would have completely burned himself out. He burned himself out just coaching. So to have that extra title, that would have been a disaster for the Pistons with Doug Collins. But there is an advantage to it, and Stan Van Gundy opened my eyes to this, that it puts a franchise in the same place. That the front office and the coaching staff are connected and unified because they're run by the same person. That's not true everywhere. And a lot of organizations, sometimes the GM is mad that the coach isn't using his players right. Sometimes the coach is mad that he's not getting the right players, and they're bickering and they're undermining each other and they're trying to prove points and settle scores, and it can be destructive. And if you have this grand vision from one person and everybody has to get in line, that can be very good and very helpful. And I think that is real. I think there is a benefit to that. Stan Van Gundy learned that under Pat Riley with the Heat. Another example of this going well. Like, everybody dwells on the Doc Rivers negatives. But here's the thing. These are coaches first. And I think the idea that a president coach can never work is more about who's getting hired for it. When it's somebody who's a coach and approaches it with a coach's mindset, it's hard to make it work. You need somebody with a bigger picture vision. I think Greg Popovich has that. And I think Stan Van Gundy might have it. I don't think Doc Rivers has it. I think we've seen enough of Doc Rivers to know he doesn't. There are a lot of indications Tom Thibodeau might not, just based on his style of coaching in Chicago. But the Timberwolves needed to do something to lure him. I don't know if he was going to go there just to be the head coach. You know, the next best head coach they would have had to settle for probably would have been a big step down. So I think it's worth the risk in seeing what happens when you put him in charge. But I think it's possible Van Gundy has this big picture vision, even if he needs some help getting back to it at times. And it's not perfect, and there are drawbacks to it, of course. But he's somebody who came up and learned from Pat Riley, and Pat Riley definitely had the big picture vision. And I think it's possible Van Gundy might, especially as he ages, where he can see the fuller idea. And to the extent he can't, one thing Van Gundy's done very well is empower Jeff Bauer. You know, Van Gundy came to this with a plan. He knew he wanted this president title. It was rumored that was the only way he was going to come back to coach any team. I'm not sure if that would have been true for the Warriors, who were on an upward ascent that has gone higher than anybody ever realized it would. And that was the other team reportedly in contention for him when the Pistons hired him. I don't know if he would have held out for the president title with them, but for a team like Detroit that was down in the dumps, isn't a premier market, yeah, he was probably going to need it. But he came in with a plan. He hired Jeff Bauer as general manager, empowered Bauer to do a lot of work, and has shown some vision for how to build a team and making some savvy moves and not overreacting to small things. To me, this is more about the people you hire. That you can't just hire a good coach who is a good coach and that's it and say, okay, well, now time to give him more responsibility. You need to hire a coach who has a plan, who has a vision, and I think Van Gundy deserves a little time to show that out. And so do Thibodeau. But you've got to come at it the right way. And maybe the Pistons did with Van Gundy. Maybe he did prove that he has this upside with this vision and can grow into the role at least, but maybe he was ready for it. But you have to hire somebody with that in mind. And you especially don't hire them just because they were there when the last guy said something racist. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter @DanFeldmanNBA. Thanks for listening.